dried cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Sing it. Song, song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Thursday morning, wide open till the end of the program, so get those texts in, 251-343-0106. Here are the five largest Russian exports to the United States: mineral fuels, precious metals and stones, iron and steel, fertilizers, and organic chemicals. Don. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Don. Your opinion, do you think the reason Biden is not going to lift restrictions on U.S. oil companies going back to 100% production is because he will be giving Donald Trump a W in his political success column by reinstating President Trump's energy policies? No, I don't think that's it. And here's why. It's easy to take credit for something if they went and did it and it got the price of gas to go down. They would be fine. They would could take credit for it. The poll numbers would go up. I just think that somewhere along the way, they made the Biden administration, Joe Biden in particular, made some kind of promise to the environmental left. This is going to be the price of electing Democrat leadership at the national level. It's just higher gas prices are going to be a part of it. Now, look, the last time prices were this high was the... It was the Bush administration, and you would thought, hey, it's the guy that does oil. He ought to know something. But I think a lot of it is this, more than we are willing to let on as a country, that all this government spending we did in the name of COVID-19 has devalued the dollar to the point that you see higher prices, you see inflation, you see higher commodity prices, and it feeds off of it. You have a trickle effect throughout the economy. So if the price of labor goes up, if the price, because the government's in the marketplace, if the value of the dollar goes down, then you're going to have to raise your operating costs. If you raise your operating costs, then the operating costs of other businesses have to go up. And you see how it's kind of a vicious cycle. And then once the price of energy goes up, well, you're going to have to spend more money on energy. You have to spend more money on that at the gas pump. So they're not going to pass along. They're not going to absorb those costs, these businesses. They're going to pass along those costs to you, the consumer. And it sends a shockwave through the economy. And everything just has to kind of work itself out. So it is some of it is policy, and Biden could do some things to ease this. But I think it just goes back to all of a sudden the role of government. And that has consequences. And it's the inflation we're seeing. It's the supply line disruptions. It's the inability to get people to come to work because the government's paying you to stay home. You know, the knee-jerk reaction of government to COVID-19 in 2020. And I think it's just there's more to come. There's more money that's going to be spread out over time because of COVID-19, probably long into the future beyond COVID-19. Just be ready for that. We didn't do a surgical strike with COVID. We went one big cannon shot. We didn't narrowly focus the response, the federal government response, and we had to do this. And history's going to show us that, and it's having a trickle effect throughout the economy. But like I said, there's some things the Biden administration could have done to mitigate this, and they are just not. They're just too reluctant. They're too wedded to the environmental left to do so. And then you have these global disruptions, and those are going to have inflationary pressures, like Ukraine. You're going to have hoarding. You're going to have a lot of different, I think, a lot of different pressures on the economy. And it's coming at the worst possible time for Democrats, because now they got to start answering for it. And they can come up with all these silly theories like, well, It's corporations. It's the oil companies taking advantage of a bad situation and gouging. They're gouging because they think they have a foil here. And what some of them would tell you, and Maxine Waters said this back in 2008, that the government just ought to take over the oil companies. But we're not there yet. We're not there where we're just not as reliant on fossil fuels. We could talk about how awesome Teslas are, or we could talk about your Ford whatever, your Ford Mulcher. But society's not there. Maybe it gets there. I mean, you look at last time gas prices were at this level in the late 2000s, and we did a lot. We forced Detroit to do a lot of things to make cars more fuel efficient, more economical. We changed the mix, the blend of gases. We did a lot of things to try to back off it. But the one thing we had going on in the energy economy, you had this, remember the oil shale? And they were finding new ways, different ways to get to extract oil and petroleum out of the ground. And it's profitable at $110 a barrel. It's profitable to do that. It's not profitable when oil is at $50 a barrel, but it's profitable. And that's going to be the next big fight, right? Will a Biden administration that is wedded to, I think more wedded to the environmentalists than Barack Obama was, allow for this? Is there any leverage that Congress will have once Republicans take over to force the Biden administration to agree to certain things? This is where it's going to get, this is where you're going to have legislators with spines in Congress. To where, you know, the wheeling and dealing to keep the government open to pass the budgets, it's going to have to be less about what pork or bacon you can bring home to your district, and it's going to have to be something big, like, okay, we will pass the budget. We will vote on your whatever your budget is, Biden, but you're going to have to do something about energy prices. There's going to have to be a better system of horse trading than we've seen. It's going to have to kind of reflect what we saw when Newt Gingrich was Speaker and Bill Clinton was President. And that was 25 years ago. That's the way the approach is going to have to be from Republicans. Because since then, it's just been, okay, well, we're just going to keep the lights on in the government. We're going to play this game of brinkmanship. Every 6 months, it's going to be raising the debt ceiling. It's going to be passing an appropriations bill. It's going to be passing a budget. Because when Democrats are no longer in control, and you have, you know, you're certainly going to have a Republican House. I feel pretty solid about that. But you may even have a Republican Senate. Is the Biden administration equipped to negotiate with Congress? One thing you say about Barack Obama versus Joe Biden, I mean, he was just... That administration had it more together. We didn't like what they did, but they worked. They operated a lot better, more efficient, better in the ways of Washington, D.C. than this current administration has. And they got a lot of what they wanted from John Boehner and from Mitch McConnell over the years. What do we think about the Biden administration? Do we think that they're so tone deaf? It's so headstrong, we may have government shutdowns. We very well could have a lot of government shutdowns because you're just going to have a different scenario, a different set of circumstances, a different philosophy. Or will we be looking at 2024 and a presidential election, and will Biden have to play ball, or where will he will be Donald Trump 2.0? I mean, there's a lot of... This is a very precarious time. Democrats can do just about whatever they want, and the government kind of functions. I'm not saying it's functioning really well, but it does function. But once we get to a state of brinksmanship, I don't know what the future has in store. I don't know what a Kevin McCarthy speakership And one would have to assume if the Senate goes Republican that Mitch McConnell will be the majority leader again. I don't know how that's going to work out with the Biden administration. One thing you say about Biden, I mean, he was in the Senate. He kind of gets that, assuming he's all there. But it could face some real world problems in the future. And then we start having these long periods of government shutdowns. It's going to be more finger pointing at Republicans. Will Republicans they stay strong or will they cave to Democrats? Democrats have that bargaining chip with the media. But that's coming. But the one place I think that they're going to have to really, really focus and try to do something, it's going to have to be with energy and forcing the Biden administration to at least consider the Keystone XL pipeline. I've always been skeptical of that as it's like the school choice of energy policy that is going to solve our all woes, or is just somebody really going to get rich off of it. And they're going to have to allow the exploration of federal lands. They're going to do things to make it easier to get oil out of the ground and make us self-sufficient until we get through this rough patch on the globe. Wendell, we didn't elect Biden. We elected Trump. We shouldn't be paying high energy prices. Pathetic, the lack of Republican support for Trump. He exposed both sides for how worthless they are. That's from Wendell and Daphne. Wendell, though, unfortunately, you know, you could be right, you could be wrong about how the 2020 election went, but I hate to say it, it doesn't matter. We are where we are today. We're stuck where we are today. Joe Biden was sworn in on January 22nd, 2021. He is president. We don't have to like it, but we have to accept it. And what do you do from there? How do you go from there? Tim, how funny was it when Darwin chastised Jerry Carl for saying that the Biden looked weak? I think I don't know who Darwin is. I assume it's the NBC 15 guy. Haven't kept up with that one. 251-343-0106 if you want to weigh in on anything we are discussing this morning. Legislature still underway in Montgomery. We're past a halfway point. Some interesting bills being considered, as one we've been talking about the last few weeks, I think, is this Numeracy Act, also a delay to the Literacy Act. And that could be a fight. No one seems to be able to tell me what's going to happen there. So if you haven't paid attention, the Literacy Act is this. Third grade reading level, you've got to be reading at a third grade level to pass to third grade. That seems reasonable, right? Well, it's caused panic throughout the education community, and the pro, like AEA lawmakers, want to delay it. They don't think it's fair. They think the kids have been short-shrift because of COVID. They haven't got the in-person learning. There's a million different excuses as why you have third graders that can't read at a third grade level. So let's delay it. Let's delay it 2 years. Let's delay it indefinitely, I think, would be a lot of Democrats' feeling on how to handle that. Well, it's easy to put out bills. It is easy to drop legislation. It is hard to pass it with a Republican supermajority. So it remains to be seen if any delay will make it through the legislature. There may be enough members that just say no. The law's the law. But you already have a law on the books, and it will go into effect this year unless the Alabama legislature acts before the end of the session. And the clock is ticking, and it may be one of these situations where something's already passed the Senate. The Senate's where a lot of bills will just go through. And just, you had a 2-year delay pass the Senate because of because of Roger Smitherman. And the Republican senators didn't want to deal with his antics, so they went ahead and let him have his bill passed. What's the House going to do? It's in committee. The days are ticking. The clock is ticking. And as we've seen a lot of things in the Alabama House of Representatives go, they just run out the clock. Now, we're going to have another special session later this year. There's more ARPA money to be doled out, and that's supposed to be one that's very contentious. We may see the Literacy Act postponement pushed to a special session. I just, every day that goes by and you don't have any sense of what the actual proposal is going to be, is it going to be a 2-year or 1-year delay? I am growing, I grow increasingly skeptical by the day that the House of Representatives can get there. But there's also this this Numeracy Act bill, and it's the same concept that if you can't add or subtract at a certain grade level, well, you don't go on to the next grade. And that just sounds reasonable. Democrats will tell you that's not fair. It's not fair to a lot of these students. A lot of these students don't have internet. Apparently, through the course of human history, what, we've had internet probably 25 years in some form, going back to AOL. Apparently, before 1995, before internet was a little mainstream, the information superhighway, if you will, learning was impossible without internet. You couldn't learn to read or write without the internet. I mean, is that really a legitimate reason for Alabama's struggles? 251-343-0106. Let's get a break here. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5.
This is for the one who drives the big rig.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but mama tried.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us. So what's left of this Thursday morning? I tell you what, you're going to want to tune in tomorrow. We got April Marie Focal, 93.1 in Montgomery, joining us, as always, a spirited discussion when she is on. State Senator Larry Stutz got a couple of bills he is going to put out there. One would repeal the gas tax, and another would repeal the medical marijuana provision. And we're going to hear from him about those efforts. You know, are they, how serious is he, and what kind of support does he expect to have? And then finally, as we do every Friday, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, will join us. So you don't want to miss a moment. The Jeff Poor Show coming up tomorrow, but you don't want to depart from where you are right now, because you got more quality programming on your way. Definitely up in the game here for Midday Mobile, Sean Sullivan. What's coming up today?
Hey, man, lots to do on today's show. And by the way, I enjoyed the whole show, but that great insight from Mike Rogers. That was key, man. That was key. I hope people take that in. If y'all didn't hear that, go back and check the podcast out, because it's good stuff. So I enjoyed it. Coming up on my show today in just a few minutes, Captain Paul Birch, running for sheriff of Mobile County. He joins me to talk about why he's running, you know, why you should vote for him. We'll talk to him about that. Also, Ray Mellick from 1819news.com. You know that place where my man Jeff Poor is the political editor there. Well, Ray's going to talk to us as well. And coming up at 1:30, Ben Reynolds back, District 4 City Councilman, to talk about the camping ordinance, Jeff. You know, that started so much controversy before. Could they be voting on this in the next city council meeting? We'll talk about that with Councilman Reynolds coming up at around 1:30. Plus, break down some more news, of course, from the war in Ukraine. Have some stories, the casualty count, numbers on both sides, and kind of what the spin might be on those. But what that might mean back in Russia, does that lead to more protests out there? We'll get into that. And yeah, Russian oil, how much do we actually take? We'll talk about that as well.
Well, the camping ordinance, what my constituency is like showing up saying, hey, how dare you take away,
you want to guess?
How many?
It rhymes with the SPLZ.
but they don't vote. They don't vote in Mobile, do they?
No, they just sue in Mobile, right?
Yeah, but it could just like you'll pry my Coleman lantern away from me out of my cold dead hands or whatever, you know, like it'll get through. They could sue, But I got to think, Sean, that there are cities all across the fruited plain of these United States that prohibit camping.
And you would be exactly correct. To act like at the city council level, this is something that is a vanguard of this movement in the country is inaccurate. And in other words, not true. But we'll talk about that and what this ordinance would actually require, what it actually targets, and I'll get your commentary on it as well. He'll join us at 1:30 today. Should be interesting conversation.
All right, guys. Well, that's enough of me. It's been a pleasure, but you know what? I will try to work much harder at doing better tomorrow. Phyllis, sorry, dear. I forgot to say goodbye. I will also try to remember that as well. This has been the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. This is where